thank you, Keith. Thank you, band. That was awesome. Welcome to Restoration, Celebrate Recovery. Every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, this is the place to be. You know, Keith said it's nice to be together, all together, even when things are, you know, going haywire. But even if you're falling apart, you can be a part here. And sometimes that's the best way to be, just falling apart where you cannot keep up any kind of facade, any kind of front, that what you see is what you get. And this is a place where you can come and be authentic. Every Tuesday night, we have worship, awesome worship like this. Then we have 30 minutes of either teaching, panel, or testimony. And then we have small groups that we break into to offer encouragement, support, and help to one another in dealing with the struggles that life brings to us. If this is your first time here, and I know there are a few of you who are here for the first time, we want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel like you've come home. And after the next half hour, Anne will come up, and if you're not sure which of the support groups would be best for you, she'll help you out with that. Tonight we have a special treat. We're on a series called ICU, and that stands for Intensive Care Unit. And if you're new, that's just because we believe that the church at its best is like a really great hospital where you can come to get care. Tonight we have a special treat. My sponsor is going to be interviewed by me, and he's going to share some of his story. I think one of the most powerful things that we do in these meetings is to share where we've been, where we are, and where we see God taking us. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the believers overcame the enemy in all his wickedness by two things. Anybody know what they are? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so tonight you're going to get a chance to hear Mark's testimony. So while the bumper plays, we'll bring Mark up here. And if you want to welcome him with a hand clap, please do that. Care for the soul. As I said, this is Mark, and those of you who have not been through a 12-step program may not know the importance of having a sponsor. But I can tell you that as powerful as the steps are, and in Celebrate Recovery, we link those steps with the Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew 5. As powerful as the steps are, it helps to have someone walk alongside you. And I went through a couple of different sponsors before I asked Mark to work with me, and I can tell you that having someone who is both gentle and really tough is a great thing. You need someone who you are not afraid to be authentic with, but who will take you even to those places you're not sure you want to go. And I found that in Mark. So I'm really glad you're here, Mark.
Thank you.
Obviously, you've got a story to tell. The first thing I would like is for you just to share a little bit about how you came into the doors of recovery, how you got on this path of restoration.
Sure. I think I first came into CR back in the summer of 2007. It was right around the time my ex-wife asked me to move out of the house. And so at that time, it was pretty tough. I remember coming into these rooms and actually experiencing physical pain, that my body didn't want to be here, because my addiction started probably by the time I was 5 or 6, but regressed for a while and then really picked up when I became a teenager. And so, you know, having that my whole life, I think the devil really knew that me starting to come here was the beginning of the end of that, and he wasn't going to let go without a fight. and I actually have an indentation in the side here where I had pain. I never got it checked out, but it's just, to me, it's just proof of a scar of something that I had to go through to get what I have today.
Wow, that's awesome. So events in your life brought up some things that you'd carried with you since you were a child. Sure. What, for you, what was insanity? What was it that you ended up having to recognize as a problem in your life? How did you get to that place of powerlessness?
Having the veil torn off, realizing it was probably my whole life. You know, from the time I was born, I didn't realize, you know, when we grow up in our family structure, I came to understand that that's how I thought life was. Mm. And I never realized that there's just a whole other picture out there than what I grew up with. And so, you know, my parents were both physically great, spiritually. You know, I grew up in a Christian private school my whole life, but on an emotional level, they were lost. And they did not know how to work with each other. And so they found that in me. You know, I was my father's best friend versus his son. And with my mom, there was the emotional enmeshment where she couldn't get the emotional connection with my dad, so she got it with me.
Wow. So for you, that even though they had some semblance of godliness or spirituality, the surface looked okay, but
there was
a lot of dynamic going on underneath that was not at all healthy for you.
No, and I never realized that until I went to a 3-day intensive up in Dallas. I had read Every Man's Battle in it. And I don't think the number's in it anymore, but they had a 1-800 number. And I actually went to a 3-day intensive up in Dallas with a professional. And at that time, going back in recovery, I had 3 major breaking points. And that the first one was there because as going through the addiction of sex addiction, you find out your triggers, you find out all the stuff that pings you. And I use the word pinged as, you know, and all that. So you kind of figure all that stuff out. But I just started talking about my parents and how they always needed me to be there, how they were always dependent on me. And then the therapist just asked a simple question, well, what do you want? Mm. And when he asked me that, nobody had ever really asked me that.
Wow.
So when that happened, I literally broke, you know, and I just cried for like 5-10 minutes. Wow. And I literally felt a weight come off of me that I hadn't had. And to tell you how that affected me, at the time, I think I was 29. And by 26, I was already carrying high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And so once that broke, the high cholesterol and the high blood pressure actually went down.
Wow. What a great testimony of what the spiritual and emotional healing can do in every part of your being. So for you, a lot of the insanity started early on because there was a lot of pressure put on you as a kid that really was not supposed to be there. And I think for some of us, because the abuse that we suffer, if you want to use that term, is not anything that's horrific from a standpoint of, you know, being beat or sexually molested or whatever. Something like that where there's a unhealthy alliance between you and a parent can have deep and profound impact.
Sure.
And like you said, it made it difficult for you even to know what you wanted for yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for you, where it showed up was in terms of sexual acting out mainly?
Yeah, in other words, my father was always, it's funny, growing up in a church environment, you know, sex is so like, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. It's behind closed doors. And my father was the complete opposite. I mean, it was, you know, not that it was explicitly out there, but we talked about it all the time, you know, just... There was no boundaries when it came to sexuality. I mean, it was open door. It was all kinds of craziness. But the insanity of it is that because of the family dynamic with my mom now spending all the attention with me, it created this imbalance with my father. So now my father's competing with me for my mother's attention.
Wow.
And that led to a very out-of-bounds situation where I was actually playing a video game in my room. I was probably 10, 11 years old. And my father was with my mom sexually in the room with me there. And so for me, sexuality was always, again, out there. It was never a closed door kind of thing. And so for that, you know, learning any type of boundaries. And, you know, and then my father, again, that best friend thing, you know, we'd have our own language when it came to women. Yeah. You know, I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. Because, again, I was his best friend. He had nobody else. So instead of being a son and creating boundaries like a father should, there was none of that there right. in my house.
Yeah. So for you, that created an environment where you grew up really confused about what the boundaries were in terms of the relationship between your parents and you, between you and members of the opposite sex.
Sure.
And so that kind of put you on a path. You mentioned though the term pinging, which I think is just something that just sort of triggers you mm-hmm. in terms of your own either emotional pain or the addiction cycle. Where did that kind of come to your consciousness where you really realized, oh, this is a problem? Because as you pointed out, a lot of times we grow up in environments and we just think, well, this is normal. This is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And even our relationships, as sick as they may be, seem kind of normal. When did you kind of like wake up to the fact that, okay, something is really wrong here?
Well, I was exposed to pornography probably about 5 or 6 years old. And even at that time, it created the initial excitement that was greater than anything I'd ever felt before. And like I said, I went through a period where I really didn't explore it. I kind of separated from that situation. And then when I became a teenager, and again, I grew up in a Christian private school. So, you know, learn about asking for forgiveness and sin and all that kind of stuff. And I had my first acting out experience around 12, 13 years old. And at that time, that's when the cycle really began to start, because then you act out, you experience the high, then you go through the shame, then you go through the self-abuse, and then you just start repeating that cycle over and over again. And that's when it started for me. And then adding the fact that I go to a Christian private school and I'm supposed to have this certain persona, I'm supposed to be carrying this certain thing, and then even at the time at that church, asking for help. You know, I went to people and I asked for help, tell them I'm struggling with this. And, you know, certain men were just saying it's just a phase. You know, other men are like, you know, that's just something you're going to experience. And other men, you know, tried to pray for me and I'd be healed. And none of that worked. And so at that time, around 12, 13, I created basically, as you read Carnes's and you read other books in sexual addiction, you create two different personalities. You know, yeah. I basically had my acting out part, you know, which nobody saw. And then I had the persona that everybody saw that was this good guy. Yeah. And I had that guy so well that in that school, I won so many major awards. You know, they had it was called ABC Award for Christian character, attitude, and behavior, and all this kind of stuff. And I won them repeatedly. Yeah. But what that created was learning how to manipulate and learning how to con and learning how to do those things, to hide right. what I really was.
Yeah, and to some degree, that even adds to the shame, because
sure.
you know that you've got this exterior self that other people see, that they affirm you for, mm-hmm. but deep inside you feel this sort of sense of duplicity or falseness. And I think that one of the things you're pointing out is that when you get a high from a chemical or from acting out, like pornography, anytime you have a drug that gives you a very quick emotional response, followed by a very quick letdown, that drug is going to be very addictive. Something
sure.
like Xanax or cocaine or pornography, you get a very instant gratification. And then, especially if there's shame involved, you go from that momentary high to just feeling like the scum of the earth.
Sure.
And especially those of us who grew up in a Christian environment, we have a lot of times an extra level of guilt and shame that kicks in immediately after the event.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, Carnes, who's a very a man who's been in the sexual addiction field for many years, actually took pictures, like CT scans of the brain during acting out behavior, and they actually compare it to crack cocaine. You know, that when somebody takes a hit off of crack cocaine, the same area of the brain that is stimulated is the same area that stimulates in my brain when I act out. And so to, again, not trying to compare apples and oranges, but sex is not something that's going to go away.
Yeah.
And
right.
so there has to be some kind of change to be able to cope with that.
Yeah. So what was it that really put you on the path toward healing? Was there an event that you would say, hey, this is where I made a decision to surrender?
Sure. What's amazing is sitting in this room, or when I first came into this room, because I actually knew quite a few people before I even got here. I knew Vicky, her daughter and my older stepdaughter were best friends. I knew Tammy, She got her hair cut with my ex-wife, and I knew Anne.
Wow.
My older stepdaughter used to babysit her kids. So it's just funny how God was just preparing all this stuff before I even had an idea.
Indeed.
And so what ended up happening was in the beginning of 2007, I had watched something, I had ordered something on the TV, and I had it there, and I had acted out, and I had changed the channel to kind of cover my tracks, and I was up taking a shower, and my ex-wife and kids came home, and what a lot of people don't know is it was actually my older stepdaughter who found it. She turned on the TV, and it happened to come on, and she saw it. And she saw it, and then my ex-wife saw it, and from there, what ended up happening is my ex-wife couldn't take it, so she literally left. And at that time, I'm just totally freaked out. I'm in that total freak-out mode, and the only person there was my older stepdaughter. And so that really bothers me a lot because I was lost, I was broken, I was shattered. And the only person there was somebody, you know, in the 9th, 10th grade. And, you know, I carried that still.
It's ironic how so often our own story gets repeated. You know, you were in a situation where you were having to deal with stuff at an age that was way beyond what you should have to deal with. And then that gets repeated again in your own life. And I think without the grace of God, that's bound to happen. It's going to happen that we are going to visit the sin that was visited on us on others. And so, but I think the powerful thing is that that provided an impetus for you to say, okay, this doesn't just affect me. It's affecting people that I care for and people who are innocent.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful reason to get healing.
Yeah, and it's, that started it. I mean, I really didn't get to where I needed to be probably till about another 6 to 8 months because that started it. I went to the 3-day intensive, came back, and figured, okay, now I just need to balance this. This was just going to be like, you know, holding on and trying to balance on the top of a tip of a pin, you know. And what ended up happening is the behaviors that I had used to act out, I didn't act out with anymore. And so it ended up surfacing in other areas. It didn't go away. You know, it just, again, found another avenue to come out. And so I think that's when I really believe now looking on it, not then, but looking on it now, God really removed me out of the situation because he knew it was best for me. And at the time, my ex went to therapy, and this is the codependency part because I just was so lost that when she went, I finally decided to go to therapy. And that was really the start for me because that therapist really guided me on the direction between recovery, CR, SAA, different programs, and really got me embedded and then seeing him once a month and really working on, you know, family issues and stuff like that.
So for you, the healing really was multifaceted. You saw, you went to an intensive, it was a weekend deal. A bunch of other guys, you got help with a counselor, you went to these meetings, and you also went to SAA or Sex Addicts Anonymous meetings.
Correct.
So you were committed. You were going to...
Yeah, because for me what happened was is that pain and that hurt was big enough for me. I did not want to experience that ever again in my life. I mean, the insanity of what I did and what I was in, I mean, even to the point when I was leaving, that last day, I got up and I was still trying to be sexual with my ex-wife, and she just cried. But yet the insanity of my addiction still wanted to take that. And I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, but I mean, again, it just shows you the insanity, even to the end, that the addiction still wanted to, you know, rule over my life.
Yeah. Those patterns die hard. It's very tough, and as you said, you know, it was necessary for you to be removed out of that situation in order to develop new patterns of relating.
Correct.
And learn what healthy boundaries are, learn what healthy relationship is.
Sure, and that when that started, you know, it started with Every Man's Battle, then led into Out of the Shadows by Carnes, which then led into Sex Addicts Anonymous book, which led into, you know, self-esteem books, which led into... just multitudes. I'm a sponge when it comes to information, especially once I know and I want to know how things work, forget it. I'm just going to soak it up until I understand.
I love that about this guy, don't you? I mean, the thing that I love, Mark, is that your heart for healing, for understanding, you know, once the blinders are off, you're like, okay, I'm wanting to be done with this. I want to deal with this. And I have to say that, you know, when I first met you, when we were back over another building, right after I started working with CR, the transformation that I've seen in you has been really very amazing and very heartening, very faith-building, because I've seen that transition in terms of your ability to engage life in a strength that I think is supernatural. Mm. What are some? Are there any particular things you've learned along the way that you'd like to share?
I don't think we have enough time.
No, we don't. I mean, we could be here. I love talking to this guy. We could be here all night and all week probably, because it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it unfolds
sure.
over time. But are there a couple of high points for you?
Something my sponsor told me right from the beginning, you know, before he even sponsored me, he asked me three questions. And first question he asked me is that, did I believe I had a problem? And, of course, that answer was yes. And then the second question was that all he has to offer is what he's been through. Mm. And that's it. I mean, yeah. And so that was, you know, and can I accept that? And that was a yes. And then the third question, which is the question that he's going to use to motivate me, is, are you willing to do whatever it takes?
Mm. Mm. Good question.
Which I've used yeah. many of times now. But that, you know, and I was.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and again, I'm not trying to, because like Paul is like, you know, very humble, but I do have a very big ego, and I do have a lot of defects of character, especially playing God and manipulation, entitlement, all those lovely, great big words. So, the pain of everything always keeps me humble.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to forget the pain.
Yeah.
The scars have healed, but they're still sensitive.
Yeah.
And I think they'll always be sensitive. And so that, in the cycle of the steps, always brings me back to powerlessness. Mm. Is that remembrance of the things yeah. that I've done and the pain I've caused myself and others.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, younger people that, you know, the kids really hurts me because their father was abusive, and they were actually gaining trust, and I was being a father figure, and I totally blew that up.
Yeah.
And so that is a stark reminder to always stay in the game.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, just hearing that you were exposed to the pornography and other sexual things at such an early age, and you think, you know, how could God let that happen? How could he let a little one be wounded in that way? And many of you experienced trauma early in life, and I remember some time ago just wrestling with that, and you know, why would God create a world where we could be traumatized by sin in that way? And I think as I thought about it, the only thing that really made sense to me is that God wants us to hate sin as much as he does, and that it's only when we see how devastating and far-reaching its impact is in our own experience that we really understand how evil it is. And unfortunately, not only do we have to experience how it feels to us, but we also have to see it in the faces of those we love when we disappoint or hurt or wound them. And I think it's a testament to God's commitment to giving us his heart for truth and for life, that he lets us suffer. And I love your attitude, Mark, that you don't want to forget the scars, the pain.
Yeah. And, you know, going through all of that stuff, you know, again, there's just so many lessons. The biggest thing for me was just once the awareness began to come, you know, Matrix, taking the red pill, waking up, whatever you want to call it, the awakening, I just don't ever, I'm still continually learning, still continually peeling back layers, still continually putting together things. And that's what I like about step 10 is that you always take a daily inventory. You know, when things ping you, when things are hitting me, I'm always taking, you know, where is this coming from? What is causing it? Where? And sometimes it's the craziest things, where these things come from. It's like, you know, you're dealing with a certain insecurity and you realize it just came from something that happened when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, but yet you're still carrying some of that stuff. And so.
Well, I think one of the things I've learned from you is that curiosity. And when we meet, one of the things that is so challenging is that Mark is always kind of like trying to like get behind, you know, okay, well, where did that come from? You know, what do you suppose, you know, whether it's a dream that I have or some event, some slip, you know, he's like, well, let's talk about that. You know, let's look into it. And that sense of curiosity that he's cultivated is something that I wish for every one of you to be like, okay, what's going on here? What's my motive? What pinged me, or what, you know, what hooked me there? what was it that triggered that anxiety, that frustration, that rage, that, you know, food fest or whatever, you know, whatever I'm doing, what's going on? I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, and there's a little line in here in Carnes' book, and I mean, you can take this from any addiction, and, you know, when we become addicts, you know, we enclose ourselves. And so just taking the point, it says, lonely as children, they look lonely as parents. Unable to admit they need to make things different, they create the very same empty environment for their own children.
Wow. Wow. So recovery is not only about recovering your soul, but it's recovering healthy relationships and coming out of the shadows, coming out of loneliness to connect with other people in their suffering, in their struggles, and in their pain. And to me, that's such an awesome thing that I see in you, is that as committed as you were to your own healing, you're committed to passing that on to other people,
sure.
Which I think is one of the most awesome things about recovery, is that it's the gift that keeps on giving.
And to add on to the two other stories, you know, the first one was that break in the therapy session. The second one was, you know, I had come to a point with my walk with God and my, you know, spirituality that I was like, you know, God, I'm just going to wipe the slate clean. I'm not going to take the assumption that I know anything. I'm just going to, you prove it to me. You show it to me. One of the things that was always was absolute truth. Truth, 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 truth. All the time. Truth, truth, truth. That's what I wanted. That was the beating in my brain, was truth, truth, and truth.
Yeah.
And so, as I was working through the fourth step and realized that I had a lot of anger with God, and working with my sponsor, you know, he just said something very simple. He's like, well, he can handle it. Tell him.
Wow.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Tell what? And it just never clicked. And so it wasn't a feel sorry session. I was driving one day and I was just like, you know, God, I never asked for this. I never wanted it. But I understand now that this is a process I have to go through to find healing, and I get that now. You know, I can see that, I can feel that. And so with that, you know, just letting that out, I ended up eating, and then I fell asleep. And when I fell asleep, I had a dream. And when I was dreaming, I dreamed of a heart, and it was just beating. And all of a sudden, the heart just started to ooze this black tar. And I could feel it inside from a very, very deep place.
Yeah.
And I believe that that was the wound from when I was 12, 13 years old, when I created the personalities. And that wound was just being cleansed, you know, just letting it come out. And, you know, that's something that I had never experienced before or after.
Wow.
And so that was the second experience. And then the third experience was after finally kind of working through the fourth step, fifth step, sixth step, there were still two things that I couldn't get past. One was my ex, Sandra, and the second one were my parents. And, you know, just dealing, again, and it came back to a lot of codependency stuff, and that's something we haven't even touched, was just the whole codependency ring, but it just had to do with a lot of codependency, because I grew up in that environment. I wanted to fix everything, and it wasn't necessarily that I just wanted to. That was the only thing I knew, because that was my model growing up.
Yeah.
And so I was still angry and frustrated with Sandra, because even though she left me and we got divorced, I still wanted a second chance.
Yeah.
And then with my parents, they just didn't seem to get it. You know, no matter how much I was trying, no matter what I was doing. And just to make a long story short, what I realized is all of that was me. You know, all of the stuff that I was thinking about, all the stuff I was trying to do in the end was coming from me. It was because I didn't want to let go. And so when I finally realized those two last points and let those go, again, driving home one day from work, and I just found myself. I could see my spirit.
Wow.
And there was no negativity. There was no criticism. There was no, you know, any kind of cynicism, no tearing down, no beating up, nothing. It was just there.
Wow.
And so, again, I'll never forget those experiences.
Wow. Thank you so much. Anything you want to leave everyone with tonight, a verse of scripture or just a thought, anything you'd want to say to people who are just getting on the path?
I have a song that kind of rings true. You know, for people that are coming in and any people that are here and that are maybe sitting on the fences and not sure, I mean, it's there. Old way of life, and there's a new way of life. And the line that intersects for me was, do the work. God performs the miracle.
Nice.
And so with that, we got the song.
Beautiful. Listen up.
Yeah,
the
words.
Song by Jenny Owens. So with that, I'll leave you with the little bit of, like he says, there's the soft part and then there's the smack in the back of the head. You know, are you willing to do whatever it takes? You know, are you willing to walk through the valley? You know, he may not be there all the time where you may feel him, but are you still willing to plow through? You know, the faith part, that this process, probably one of the biggest things was faith, because I had, again, grown up in Christian school and all that stuff. You have this stuff preached to you time and time again, but it never became real until I finally had to go through the pain. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for my brother Mark. I thank you that he was willing to walk through the valley, to embrace the pain, even if it meant understanding and growing and healing to the point of being able to shed the shame, shed the old way of living. God, thank you for the challenge that you've given it all of us to step away from the old life and embrace the new. God, we know that you're the author and the perfecter of our faith, and we just surrender to you tonight. We accept the challenge, and Lord, I just pray that you'd stir up in us the same heart of conviction, the same heart for healing that you stirred up in Mark. Bless him, God, and continue to make him a blessing. Bless all of us, God, as we look to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was amazing, Mark. What an inspiration. One of the things when I used to go into the AA meetings, people would say I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic, and that is one of my favorite statements. I know when I first was new, I'd say, you liar, what are you talking about? But I'm sorry, I'm from Texas, I'm still cold. But I just love that, and I can say that today. I just celebrated 16 years, yay, last week, and I can't say.